Welcome to Revere Assets, Your Money, with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
And Don Vandenborg.
Telling it like it is.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny, Tim, and Don will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
Because it doesn't matter what you think or what I think, and it matters even less what Danny thinks.
And now, here's your hosts, Danny, Tim, and Don.
Limping. Daniel, we are limping into the summer. But before we get started, stock nerds and market lovers, I want to talk to you for just 2 seconds about the most interesting thing I'm watching on television right now, Chernobyl. So I don't make time for television. I don't think I mentioned this before. I don't make time for television that often. But there is a show called Chernobyl. It's on HBO, and it is worth getting, if you don't have HBO, it's worth getting the trial for. Like, I know everyone seems to be Game of Thrones fans, and I might be the only person not watching it. But Chernobyl has caught my interest. It's a docudrama, so I'm finding myself looking up what parts of the story are true. Like, I get it, the explosion was true. But the storylines and the narratives are based on people. And so a good example of this is this isn't a spoiler, by the way. One of the scientists that helps the government figure out that the way they're trying to put out this fire is going to absolutely be the worst thing they could do, and it's going to cause the reactor to blow up again, or the other reactors to blow up, is actually an amalgamation of one. It's one person in the show, but in real life, it was like a community, like several and many are two different things. Scientists that actually started working on this, but man, it's an intense show, and I don't usually like to do intense, but this thing is so well done that I think it behooves everyone to watch it. There's zero market lesson. I'm quite sure someone can draw a market lesson from it, but it's fantastic. Danny, do you have one? Do you have HBO? I should know more about you, Danny. Do you have HBO?
I did. I got the free trial, and then I dropped it after the 3-month version. But I've got Netflix, and we got Amazon.
No, go get HBO. On HBO is so inexpensive on Amazon channels. Or is it AT&T?
Really?
I have it through DirecTV now, and it's like $5, man. Go get it. It's watching Chernobyl. I'm telling you, this thing will have you hooked. It is so well done. So, and I'm not a commercial for Chernobyl, but I don't watch much TV, man. Like, if you name a show.
No, you don't. You definitely don't. Yeah.
Like, I was just scrolling through some news stuff in the morning. And the number one show in America, the top three shows in America are football related. Like, the number one show is Sunday Night Football. I think the number two show is another football program. And the number three show last year for returning shows is the post-game show on Fox. I don't know who's watching all this television. I feel that television, it's so fragmented right now. And I can't figure out if television is better than it ever has been. And there's so much competition that so many good shows that wouldn't normally get created are being created, which makes me just miss out even more. Or if TV, there's so much content, it's actually diluted and it's not the best of the best shows getting made. It's every show's getting made. Man, but that's how you end up with things. God, I'm sorry.
Well, that's an interesting comment. There are some very good shows, but you've got to kind of search around and find them. I mean, you got to look.
What's your favorite show?
Oh, gosh.
Favorite show right now that you're watching?
We like some of those medical shows. So Grey's Anatomy's kind of...
That's still on TV?
That is still on TV. And it's kind of run its course, but because we got hooked early on, we still watch it. But I like some of the shows like that. They're a little bit more real life, not too... I did like the Harry Potter series because I read the books, but I didn't watch Game of Thrones. I didn't watch the. I'm too busy. I wasn't into that stuff. So
did you equate Harry Potter and Game of Thrones? Because that's awesome. Are they alike?
No. I'm just saying it's fan a little bit of fan. It's got a.
Oh.
It's got some, you know, fantasy stuff
gotcha.
In there. But anyway.
Well, anyway, yeah,
that's the only
reason. No, nobody turns in for my television reviews. That which hurts my feelings sometimes, stock nerds. But Chernobyl is something you should totally watch. Danny, I've got like just four things I want to talk with the listeners about this week. Let me see here. You tell me what you want to hear about. Annuities coming to your 401k is one. We can do asset class. You can invest now in human beings. We can do that. Not well, Tim, we've always been investing in human beings. That's the job market. No. Thank you, cynical guy. You can actually invest in future wages. Let's see here. I think IYT, the transportation ETF, is irrelevant the way it's done. We can do that. Average true range charts aren't a savior. They just visually show the odds. We can discuss that. And we can do rates and yield. Where do you want to start the big show?
Wow, that is a tough question. I think that annuity, because I know where you're going.
Okay.
Watch what's going on. The annuities in your retirement plan, I think it probably is not the most fun or interesting topic,
no.
But it's going to be the most relevant for the most people.
It's a show killer. So, spoiler alert, this show is about to get awful. And so, so hang with me. I will try to make this droll topic as interesting as possible for you. But I come to the section of the show where Tim reads you an article and then comments because it's, I don't want to mess it up. Some people have questioned, why don't you just tell us what it's about? Well, I don't want to skip over something that you might find extremely relevant to the story. I will paraphrase here in some parts. Okay, Americans could see because it hasn't been approved yet, the most significant changes in more than a decade to the retirement plans under legislation. So Thursday, with measures designed to make it easier for employers to offer, here's what I want you to pay attention to, stock nerds, to offer 401k type accounts. See, those are the keywords there. You see, Danny, this is why I do read this. Let me change my prior statement to this statement. You know what, stock nerds? You need me to read everything to you. And this is why. I can parse this, read between the lines, because, you know, I'm a professional broadcast journalist, and I can tell you what is really going on. And then if I say it in a confusing manner for you, Daniel comes in and he cleans up the mess I've created. So let's continue here.
Well, the takeaway is the lobbyists are going to...
Hold on a second. We didn't get to any meat yet. Jeez Louise. Okay, so...
I just didn't want you to bury the lead, Tim.
No. 401k type accounts. So not 401ks, they're type accounts. And for participants to convert, this is to convert their balances into a steady lifetime income. Where do we start? So that's just paragraph one, folks. And so what they're saying is, they don't tell you this, but for a fee, you can take that 401k account that you've built up over time, that you've invested most probably, I would think most people are in low cost funds. We've highlighted plans that don't have that, and we've called them out on that in the past. But let's just assume here, and assume is a dangerous word, that you're invested in low cost funds, and you've built up a sizable nest egg over the course of your career in 401ks. Fantastic. Kudos to you. Now, for a hefty fee, you can then take that balance and convert it into a lifetime of income, something that you could have done on your own for no fee, just parceled out the money that you have accumulated, maybe put some in some bonds, maybe put some in some different type investments. And you could have figured this out, or you could talk to Daniel, who is one of the best at this in the country, meaning because he's objective and doesn't sell you anything. You could do this for yourself for no fee, but for a high fee, which they won't tell you, the insurance industry will convert your money gladly into an annuity that they collect the fees on up front, and then for the right for them to do that, they charge you, and then they give you back your own money. But let me continue to read. Lawmakers have been discussing many of the retirement changes for years, with a significant portion of the U.S.'s burgeoning community of retirees at risk of outliving their money. So they're using the excuse that you're more healthy, medical advancements are fantastic, you're living longer. We got to bilk you for fees. We thought you would die. You're not dying. So now they've been thinking about this for years. What this really means, stock nerds, is the 2020 election cycle is coming up, and there's a bunch of Congress people that need to be reelected. They can only be reelected if they take donations from one of the most powerful lobbying groups in the country, the insurance companies. And it's insurance companies that administer annuities, because annuities are what, Daniel? They're insurance products. They're insurance products. And they're not investments. And no, even though many of you have been told, that these annuities are investments, or they're investment types, and you've been maybe maybe not lied to, but the salesperson who sold you your annuity kind of just talked sideways a little bit. In similar fashion, some of you have horrible life insurance policies because someone told you that they're an investment, even though that's illegal to do. Yeah. And so now it's coming up on the election season. People need their coffers just restuffed with all those lobbyist dollars. So they look to the insurance companies to fill their coffers up. And in return for filling their election cycle coffers up, the insurance companies will now be able to pillage through America's 401k system. They've already gone through all of America. They figured out that we've got everybody we possibly can. Now we just twist them, which is, by the way, a technical term, meaning that when your annuity comes due, whether it's good or not, someone knocks on your door or rings your phone and says, you know, we should get you in another one, even though you're 102. Don't laugh. That happens. And so we continue on with the grossest thing to happen this week in the markets. And this week has been filled with a bunch of gross things, but this one in particular has my goat. So lawmakers, they discussed this for years. As life expectancy rises, policymakers and employers are realizing that 401k plans, the benchmark retirement vehicle offered by U.S. employers for decades, could do more to help retirees make that money last. If by make that money last, meaning give it to the insurance companies, they've hit the hammer on the head. That, Danny, I've butchered that saying, but I think you know what I'm getting at there. The House bill passed by an overwhelming majority and expected to be taken up by the Senate before it heads to President Trump's desk would encourage 401k type plans to offer annuities, a type of insurance contract that guarantees a monthly income stream as long as the retiree lives. It doesn't tell you how much. Doesn't tell you what percentage, just tells you that we'll give you $20 a month. And then if you keep living, we'll give you another 20. By the way, Danny, what happens when you die and you have an annuity? You there, Danny, or did you just go on mute?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did have it on. I was laughing. I was saying, all the whole lump sum goes away, whatever you have. So if you take your lump sum in your 401k, that's $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 or whatever it is, and you, like you said, you could create your own annuity, but instead you give it to an insurance company. You're trading an income stream for that lump sum. So they know how long you're supposed to live. And so the only way you really win on that annuity is if you live about 8 9 years past your life expectancy because they build a profit in there, they build all this stuff. And what's worse is if you get hit by a bus in 6 months, that entire lump sum goes away and your heirs get nothing. So it's a bad deal. But I was laughing. That's why you couldn't hear me laugh, because I forgot I'd put it on mute. I was laughing when you were going over to the very end of that, because it reminded me of that joke. Well, we know what you are. Now we're just haggling over price.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
That's what Congress did. Because remember, folks, just 2 years ago, we had this big brouhaha about the fiduciary rule and these 401ks having high commission products and being expensive, and it wasn't right. Gosh darn it, it wasn't right. So we have to protect the little guy, the consumer, the employee. And now, 2 years later, they're flip-flopping, and you're right, Tim, it's all about money, it's all about the elections. Now, all of a sudden, they flip-flop, and they said, oh, you're not you might outlive your money, so we need to protect you from you, and we need to bring an insurance company in, who, by the way, has given us nice big contributions to my campaign, so that you can be protected. Now, here's one other thing, and you hit the nail on the head. Think about the logic of this, Tim. You just said they don't tell you what it's for. Yeah, you get an income for life, because the word income sounds good. You're going to get an income for life. But they don't tell you what the rate of return on that when you annuitize it is. And folks, normally it's maybe 2-3%. But if you really live longer, if you do live longer, aren't you going to need some growth? I mean, aren't you going to need maybe just some Amazon and some Apple and some other things, not just bonds? Because that's not going to get you where you need to be unless you're independently wealthy and have millions.
Well, it's going to. So, well, you need a cell discipline in there too. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Well, that is true. That is true. But even if you don't have a cell discipline, which I'm not advocating, okay, but even if you pick a few of the best stocks in the world, some investment grade bonds and some treasuries, I kind of cringe that I'm saying this, but if you've got kind of a pie chart allocation. That's got some growth, some income, whatever, it's still much better than getting an annuity. I'm sorry, it just is. Assuming you're going to live 10, 15 years, and when most people retire at 62 or 65 or even 70, the assumption being is they're going to live 10 or 15 years at least. See, the problem is not if you die early. If you die 2 or 3 years out, you don't have to worry about running out of money. It's only if you live too long you got to worry about running out of money. And what they're doing is they're either thinking these annuities are going to grow much more than they really are, because I've seen them, I know how the math works, or they're being dishonest, and or they're going to give you a small income for life. In other words, they're going to give you less than you could have done. And that's what you're saying, Tim. You're not when you said they don't tell you what it's worth. That really was the key phrase of the entire thing.
So
you don't know what the income stream is.
And
you can back into what that return is.
Oh yeah. And there's some things here too that are good. Retirement age increases, 70 and a half would increase the age at which savers must start taking withdrawals from their 401ks to 72 from 70 and a half. Additional features benefit part-time workers, parents, home care workers, employees. There are some good things here, but what you're trading off, and if you get later into the article, they're also trading off, you know, they're saying, so a lot of companies didn't want to offer annuities before, because if the insurance company goes bust, so let's say that, this whole industry is nefarious, dude. So let me just explain this. If you're a private...
Before you go on, though, I want to make one comment.
Go ahead.
Because you said there are a couple little good things in there, like you don't have to start taking your minimum required distributions at 70 and a half. You can wait to 72. You can put off a few mandatory things. Guess what, Tim? All of those are moot if you annuitize it. If you take the income for life at 70 when you retire, because now you've already fixed whatever you're going to take. It's an irrevocable decision. So now you're taking your money out, so putting it off till 72 or whatever's moot.
Yeah.
You already figured out what you're going to take out every year. You didn't postpone it. So
yeah, no, I'm with
that's
you.
Just a,
no, yeah, yeah, no, I'm,
that's just a shell game right there that they're making it sound like they got their best interests in heart and they're pushing you to annuitize.
Yeah, and so that benefits. I'm surprised that, well, I mean, some of the biggest brokerages sell these things, so I'm not surprised by that. But I'm surprised, though, there isn't bigger pushback here. Like, there should be some pushback here because what it's going to do is so the 401k is offered by employers. They get solicited. So there's salespeople that go around, no matter the size of the company, and they get sold on opening up these 401k accounts for their employees. And there's really strict rules about these things. And a lot of the fees that are associated with 401k, it's really expensive to set up 401k plans and maintain them. Like it's a burden. Danny, would you agree with me when I say it's a burden for smaller businesses to establish plans like this?
Yes.
Okay.
It's more, yes.
Okay. That's, yes. Yeah, so it is a burden. And so what happens is you can get unscrupulous, there's always unscrupulous people anywhere. So I'm not trying to set up a straw man argument, but there's unscrupulous salespeople in this industry. We highlight them most every week. And you can get someone to sell them on a plan or a company that isn't as stable. Well, now you're going to get relief. Companies that are smaller in nature are not going to be held liable for the decisions they make. And you can put an employee's money right away into 401ks. Like that's an automatic, like it's automatic, you're automatically enrolled. Many companies that offer 401ks automatically enroll you. You have to unenroll yourself. Now, listen, you should always be a part of the active part of your investment. And you should know this, and I get it. But there's very few people in the listening audience who have had any say into the company that is chosen for their 401k, no matter the size of the company, large or small. And in that, you do not know what deal was negotiated and if it really was in the worker's best interest or not. You have zero visibility. There's zero transparency into this. There's the problem. Why are you? Did you ever question? And by the way, I get it. It's like banging your head against a wall. Why would you? I mean, for what, you'd just be wasting your time. I mean, who's on your 401k committee at work? Are they actually good investors? Or are they just regurgitating something they saw on a brochure? Do they actually know the nefarious 12b1 fees that infect this industry and the kickbacks that take place? Imagine the trailing fees in a medium to large size company that when you invest, when all the workers of that company are buying the same mutual fund, the salesperson that sold the company, the 401k plan, gets a huge kickback. You don't think that happens? I mean, this industry is just fraught with this, and this now brings, I think it doesn't offer, if it brings, I think it brings less transparency, but it doesn't, I don't know how it offers you any greater visibility into the system. I think it's awful. I think that what they really should have done is made it public, how much the fees are, like who were the bidders for the funds that you're investing in the plans. We went to Voya, we went to Fidelity, we went to Schwab. And Schwab offered us these fees, and we were guaranteed that no one's getting kickbacks if your money goes into these. All that stuff should be made transparent, and it's not. This bill actually sets back the fiduciary rule like 100 years. Instead of, hey, we should probably, like, there was a period where annuities went down in sales figures because the fiduciary rule was going to pretty much kill the industry because they're fraught with non-transparency. Nobody knows how they work. Nobody does. Like you need like 3 PhDs and that secret decoder ring from Little Orphan Annie in A Christmas Story to figure out how your annuities are calculated. And so the fiduciary rule is going to clean this all up. I mean, think if you look at the sales figures for annuities, they plummeted because it killed the golden goose. It was going to. And then all of a sudden they started to come back. Oh, that's because the government took the pedal off. No, you don't have to be a fiduciary. You just kind of got to wink and nod and maybe say, I'm going to do right by you, Bubba. Like, that's what you got. That's what Everett Jones does. They try to sell you on relationships. Hey, Janice, we should talk. Yeah, it's just our get-together. Markets are melting down, by the way, your host. But hey, you like me, don't you? The whole industry sells you on this relationship, this transaction of personal feelings, when you really need... Well, you really need sound advice. No, you need a sell discipline. You need to be more concerned about the risk you have in the market than making money in the market. It's a market. But they continuously sell you on the biggest lie on Wall Street is that you're going to win. And Oppenheimer, the worst offender, is it 99% of the time the market always goes up or something? Whatever the commercial is with the walrus. And it's just so insulting to you and your families. It's disgustingly insulting. Like, you should be saying, but what if I need the money now and the market's in a 30% correction? I had $1 million. Now I've got 700,000. And by the way, I've got to put two parents in long-term care. Now what? Well, it'll go back up. When? What? The stocks I have, they'll go back up? Yeah, you've got Fossil, you've got GoPro, you've got Fitbit, you've got all the winners. I know. I'm not giving you, Tim, it's Amazon. Everyone's invested in Amazon. Yeah, but like, it's your timing. You assume, A-S-S-U-M-E, you assume that the market's on your time, and it's the worst thing you could ever do. You, my friend, on the other end of this microphone, are on the market's time. You're on the time of someone who doesn't care about you. The market, it doesn't know your desperate need for that money because your children are sick. It doesn't know your desperate need for that money because someone has cancer. It doesn't know. It's a market. It's unemotionally uncaring, and yet you've been sold for years that these companies care about you. When the thing that they're investing in they have no control over. They have zero. The only thing these companies can do is reach out to you and try to make you feel better when you lose a quarter, 25% correction, and you're just in index funds because that's what you heard over the years. Index funds. Well, it's the market, and when you're 100% invested and the market pulls back 25%, Daniel, how much did you lose?
A lot.
Yeah. And so and if you don't have that kind of sell discipline or strategy that allows you to protect your wealth, or that mindset that says, by the way, I'm not telling you that there's this huge correction coming. I'm not a perma bull. I'm certainly not a perma bear. But it's just being able to roll with the ebbs and flows of the market. And when there's less transparency, man, it obscures what's really happening even worse. It's just awful. And if you think there's no transparency in how the salespeople are paid, and by the way, it's not just at 401ks and companies. It's at the fund level, like the broker level. When I'm referring to Johnny Bag of Donuts at stripmalladvisor.com, I'm referring to this individual, this person that you can't figure out, you know, like Johnny Bag of Donuts said he really likes stocks, but I'm in four mutual funds and one ETF. And you can't figure out why. It's because of the fees they get paid on the back end. And you want to talk about an annuity stream. They get paid those in perpetuity. So when Danny and I, and Don, when Don does the videos, and Don, you know what, where are my manners, stock nerds, and market lovers? I gave no information, Daniel. I just started talking. Dan at revereasset.com. Tim at revereasset.com. Email addresses, your folks. Don at revereasset.com. 855 Real Wealth. One Danny Stored on Twitter, TJ Razor, R-E-A-Z-O-R on Twitter. You want to talk about an annuity stream. And we say cash is a position. The reason why we can say cash is a position because we accept none, zip, zilch, zero marketing fees. We don't take anything from any salesperson. Don't even come here. They know. They know not to. We're not going to give them business. We're not interested. We do our own research. And when Danny says we do our own research, I don't think you understand what that really means. Most people in this industry don't do zero research. Or if they do research, it's from the brochures they're reading from the salespeople. That's not research. That's an advertorial. You're just getting regurgitated advertorial nonsense. But because you don't know any better and the marketing is made to make you feel like you have a friend in this industry, you have no friends in this industry because they're all trying to make money from you. Oh, it's so frustrating. And so what happens is when you put your money at Johnny Bag with Johnny Bagadone at stripmalladvisor.com and you're in these mutual funds and you're like, the market is coming down like 30% here, Johnny. Shouldn't we just maybe go to cash? Or no, stay the course. Let me break out one of my five studies that says you should stay the course. And it's because his annuity streams, it's like multi-level marketing at Fidelity and Edward Jones. People hate that. They hate multi-level marketing. And yet that's what it is. That if you go to cash and the world, in Johnny Bag of Donuts' world, if they all went to cash, those annuity streams would stop being paid. It's not your job to feed Johnny Bag of Donuts, man. It's Johnny Bag of Donuts' job to protect your wealth. It's his job to educate you to the fact that it's not about how much money you can make from the market. It's that how do you protect it when the market wants to take it from you? And when not to get overly paranoid. But most people can't do that because they're salespeople. And unfortunately, this rule that's going to be, I mean, Danny, what was it like? It was a gazillion to one. Three people opposed this rule. And I'm going to tell you, two of them have gotten screwed by an annuity salesman and the other one can't read. Like it's just awful. And there's less transparency. You're going to know so much less about how all these insurance companies are going to do. And because it's legal, it's allowed. They can tell you when you hear, look at how the article was written. This is from the Journal, by the way, folks. If you think if the Journal came out anti-annuity, do you think their ad revenue would drop? Tim, there's not a conflict of interest there, is there? You're not saying that the Journal is not doing their journalistic duties. I don't know. Let's see. Who wrote this? Tegerson, Richard Rubin. I don't know them from Adam. But I do know that when you say the words income for life, how many of you just assumed it's at your current levels? I mean, think about that, Dan.
Just go through and look at their advertisers throughout the Journal.
Right.
Go look at who's advertising.
But
are there brokerage firms?
Right.
Are there insurance companies in there?
But think about this. How many folks, when I said income for life, or when you hear an annuity commercial called income for life, or talk about having income for life, how many of you just assume it's at your current income levels? Big mistake, right? And once the conversion is done, you're done. It's not like you can get the fees back and the money back, right, Daniel?
Yes, it's irrevocable.
Yeah. And do you think up front they're going to tell you, if you die, your spouse, they get none of it, right, Daniel? If what happens when you die? Just cover that one more time.
I don't want to misspeak here. So there's a couple different options on the annuity. You can do just your lifetime, which means you get a higher, quote, monthly income. It's really your own money you're getting back. It ought to be called return of principal. But see, that doesn't sound good because it doesn't sound like income, like you're making something, like you're profitable. Return of principal means, oh, man, I'm just getting my money back. That's really what it is. You're giving them $200,000 and they'll give you $1,500 a month. Or, I'm just throwing out numbers. But you can do a second to die so that it's based on the second person's death, the incomes, the your money back, your principal back, over the life of two people, but then that makes the monthly payments lower because theoretically that person's going to live longer, and so they'll have a longer time frame to pay. You'll have to pay out more. So you get your money back, your principal back, slower over time. I like that. I think I need to trade my principal back. Your principal back for life.
That's what it does. And look, it's not to the cynic out there that's newer to the show. We get so many new listeners every week to the show. I can understand how this would sound like sour grapes. It's not. The individual investor doesn't win here. I don't see how adding product mix to 401ks that have less transparency in how they're priced and how they work. I mean, how many of you understand actuarial tables? I mean, there's college courses, college majors, actuarial science. Like, it's just going to further confuse people. And once you do it, it's too late. Now, if you tell me that they're going to create a special class of annuities, and they don't screw investors in any of the ways that I just mentioned, well, fantastic, have at it. But I highly doubt that that's going to happen. So anyway, it's a bummer. It's a bummer that that's actually taking place, that either the fiduciary rule killed off the industry enough that they had to take this tact, but the lobbyists got to Congress. If Congress was really looking out for, and by the way, it doesn't affect Congress. They get a pension.
Yeah, they get an income for life. Not a return of their principal, your tax dollars.
I think it's one term in the Senate, and I think you have to have 6 years, and so there'd be three terms of Congress. That changes. That stuff kind of changes more often than I look at it.
I think we need to look at that. I think you get benefits even if you serve even a part. Like if you get elected and you're in there. And I could be wrong on this. You might know better than I. But I thought if you even served a partial term, where you served 2 of your 6 years of senator, you still got full benefits. Now maybe I'm wrong on that. But it's whatever.
For senator, it's 6 years. But it's just for the House of Representatives that I don't.
Yes, and what I'm saying is to qualify for the pension and benefits. Health insurance, health care for life. I don't think you have to even fulfill, I don't even think you have to do one full term. I'm not positive of that. But it's not, look, for you and me in the private sector, you know, with retirement plans or benefit plans, you got to work a certain amount of years it's 1 year before you're even eligible, and then you got to work a number of years to start qualifying, and you accumulate how much you get. And they get, as soon as they qualify and become eligible, they get a full, huge, full-blown benefit for life. It's just the most unbalanced thing I've ever seen. It's just wrong. I mean, you want to fix Social Security? Put Congress on Social Security. Take away their pension.
Yeah, there you go.
Give them a 401k. Let them save their own money. Then we'll see how fiscally responsible. I mean, they're great at spending our money.
You know what? The person that suggests that in Congress gets reelected forever. And if it ever passes, they'd never pass. Never pass, never pass, never pass. Moving on. Look, stock nerds, if you've got... Danny has done this for a number of people where you've gotten twisted on an annuity or someone misrepresented the annuity to you or it's not what you lived up, you thought it would be. Call Danny, 855-REAL-WEALTH. Look, we got nothing to sell you. We don't do any of this nonsense. If Danny can help get you out of it or get your fees back, he's done it a couple times for folks. It's just a phone call. It really is just a phone call. And we're not going to stalk you. Every time I say this, I feel bad because I keep repeating myself, but I don't think people believe it. We don't have a sales staff. Like, we grow organically because you recommend us. We actually pick up our own phones. We do, especially over the weekends, the holiday weekends when you're available, because when you're available, we make ourselves available. 855-REAL-WEALTH. You can email Dan, dan@revereasset.com, and just tell him your situation. Like I said, it's worth the conversation to see if he can help you out of it. Gosh, Danny's in Florida right now, and I was just thinking of someone he helped out in Florida with that exact case. Let's see here. Danny, I've got on my note sheet, scribble down, just open an account and start trading. You want to hear that, or do you want to hear the irrelevancy of the transports or ATR charts aren't a savior? Your call.
We kind of went over that second one. Let's either do the first choice.
Well, that showed in air.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that showed in air. So we ran into a technical glitch with that show. So no, but out of those three, which one do you think the audience would enjoy more?
I think the first. Let's do the first.
Just open an account and start trading. Well, this is short. Look, there's a lot of you get empowered, by money that comes into you through inheritance. Gifts or whatnot, and that is something to be celebrated and appreciated by the people that love you enough to do that for you. So that is not where this comment is headed. The comment that that I'm about to make, though, is that it's presumptuous to think that you could open up a trading account and make that money grow just by opening up a trading account. It's this goes back to my comment earlier about marketing. The presumption of success in the markets by the media, by the media and by the advertising companies that advertise mutual funds, pension funds, mutual funds and ETFs, and brokerages, that presumption of success is dangerous to your psyche because the market doesn't work the way you think it should work. And so what happens is you get some inherited, you get whatever, maybe you earned it, it doesn't matter where the money came from. And you just think you can open up a trading account when it actually is an applied skill. And I kind of get it here. It's kind of like being a realtor. I think realtors probably suffer from this where everyone thinks they can do a better job than the person that's buying or selling their home because there's like little barriers to entry. Most people don't think they're better doctors. Most people don't think they're better lawyers because they didn't study law. But the things that have low barriers to entry, think investing, think realtor, probably a couple others you can, I mean, no one thinks they can be a better mechanic because it's actually a skill set. But in investing and trading, it actually is a skill and it's risk management. And you need to be able to quote the title from Annie Duke, think in bets and have the mindset of what if this doesn't work out? How much am I willing to put into this? Where do I pull the cord and get out of this to preserve my capital? And most people don't do that because that's not what they teach on commercials on TV or the internet. And no, that's because no one's realistic with you. But to think that the audacity, and I, by the way, I think if you apply yourself, you can. This is nothing about smarts. Notice I haven't mentioned the word smarts or intellect at all in this discussion. It's just a different mindset, and nobody covers the mindset. So when you hear me say on videos or this podcast numerous times that investing is 90% psychological, I'm talking about mindset. And that, in fact, is different. And the things that you think matter to the market oftentimes don't. And the things that you should be paying attention to, you're just bypassing because you're too busy watching the things that don't matter. And one of them being the news. Price sets the news stories for the day. The news doesn't set price. And that's a generality. You mean to tell me if Apple pre-announces, which is news, and it goes down, that means what came first there, Tim, chicken or the egg? Look, the market doesn't like news it doesn't know. But 99.43% of the news that's reported is known by the market. So when you get those surprises, and I'm not talking unfortunate terrorist attacks and stuff like that. When you get the surprises like an Apple after the close one day in January, just going, oh, by the way, we suck right now. Well, yeah, okay. That is an example of the news shaping price for the next day. But when the futures are down big in the morning and what you're going to get, you think you're going to get a bunch of good stories about what's happening in the market, or are you going to get a bunch of reasons why futures are down? You're going to get the latter. And so And then before you know it, Bob's your uncle. The news the story reverses because price reversed, but you're caught on the other side of the trade, or you didn't take some kind of action. And I'm telling you, it's a lot harder to step into the arena here of trading and investing than it is to comment on it. And up until the moment you have a disposable amount of money to go invest with, or as they call it, a taxable account, you don't know that. And so hopefully this show quickens that learning curve. Options can be wonderful, trading options, or they could be the worst thing that ever happened to you. Because, you know, if you're not very good with equity, which has no time decay, well, then if you add the leverage and the time decay of options, you went from trading in a 2D world to a 4D world. And it's really, 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 it could be scary and it could be detrimental. I mean, just extremely disastrous. So we're caution. And look, that I think that's one of the best things we offer here. If you find yourself in that position where maybe you've worked yourself in that position, nobody ever wants to admit to it. But I think you should. That's why we're transparent on the videos when things aren't working out. I think it encourages people to be honest with themselves. We never know. The few times you do call us and tell us, but if you ever find yourself in a predicament, call us. We're more than who cares if you're a client. You know, we work for individual investors. We exist for individual investors. We'll be more than happy to help you. Try to educate you. I can't say that we can fix everything, but we can certainly try to figure something out with you. You don't even have to become a client. Just like, hey, I worked myself into this situation. I'm more than happy to talk to you. So there's that. All right, Danny, I want to talk about this because I've rambled on here. When markets get choppy like this, they wear out both sides of the market. They wear out bulls and bears. And so until they both give up, and then the market will make a decisive move. So we're in that right now. But that's left a number of people talking about rates. And Danny, as I set this up for Danny has been finding, we have a number of clients, and we talked about this a while ago, that like income, not just from stocks. And Danny's been able to find bonds and a few other things that have made this period of the market just a breeze like that. And so I thought we'd revisit it as the 10-year hit a recent low, I think a low since 2017. Which means that the prices are higher, but the yields are lower. And that's not good if you're a saver. But Danny has alternatives that are just extremely safe. And I think it's worth revisiting. So, Daniel, take it away.
Well, thanks, Tim. So, you know, a couple things. I've got a couple of clients that are very risk averse and older and just don't want to have to be in stocks, but they want to try to make a little bit of money, keep up with inflation. And then I had a guy reach out to me just a few weeks ago as part of a quasi-government organization utility where they're handcuffed. They can only do treasuries or investment-grade bonds or CDs. And so I did some research, and we talked about this the other week, Tim, but I really wanted to give some specific examples because that will kind of bring it home and help people to understand, because everybody thinks that bonds are just very simple and plain vanilla, and they're not. It gets more complicated. And so the first thing you need to do whenever you're doing any kind of bond, whether it's treasuries, investment grade, high yield, CDs, it doesn't really matter. You need to find where the sweet spot in the yield curve is. And what that means is first you want to find out where the highest yield is, and where the lowest yield, see what it looks like. Normally, a normal interest rate curve should go from bottom left to top right. So the shorter end, 6 months, a year, should be low interest rates. Then midterm, it should go up a little bit and gradually go up, because the more time you go out, the more risk you're taking. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, once you find the area that looks the best for your bang for your buck, then what you want to do is you want to find the best companies or the best deals within that area. And you'll find that they will vary greatly. You wouldn't think that. You think that every AA bond or AA minus bond that matures in 2 years or 4 years is all going to pay 2.5, you know, whatever the percentage rate is. And you'll actually find half, you know, 40, 50 basis points difference sometimes. So it can make a huge difference. And when you look at the offerings, you can go do some research and you can go find these companies. And there are certain companies that will keep coming back up with a little bit better yield. And so you'll kind of know those are the ones that you should go to. And every once in a while, you'll just find an absolute gem that is it's a kind of a one-off deal where they've got a project coming up. They're not going to issue more new stock for this project, and they truly believe it's going to be very profitable, and they're going to offer a little bit of a sweetener, a little bit higher yield, just to get that thing done, boom, and move on. And so, but right now, the yields, the best, highest yields in shorter term stuff, I'm going to talk about 5 years or less, for people that want to have a lot of liquidity, keep it short. And I'm only going to talk about investment grade bonds for this discussion. Okay. If you look at investment grade bonds, the yields are actually higher when you stay around 11, 12, you know, a year, 8, 9, 10, 11 months to a year. Once you get over that third quarter out to a year, the yields actually drop. They actually go down, and there's a big lull. And that lull doesn't start, you don't start getting back to even the same yield you'd make 9 or 10 or 11 months or a year out as you would for over 2 years. So there's really no reason, or there's one, and I'll get to that. There's really not a huge reason to actually buy anything in that trough, because you're not getting compensated for the extra holding period. Now, the one risk that people will talk about, we talked about, that's what signals a recession. They'll say that people assume bonds assume that rates are going to go, the market assumes rates are going to go down in the future. And so that's why a little bit longer rates are actually lower than shorter rates. But I still would rather buy something 9 months or 11 months out. And if the rates are lower in the future, I will simply get a lower rate for that next year. And overall, I'm still going to have a higher rate. But let me give you a few examples of why it's important to do your research and check it out. So if you go out to, if you just go to the end of this year, okay, at 10/8 of 19, November of 19, okay, you could get 1.99%. That's almost 2%. For an Oracle bond, that's pretty dang good. And if you go back to February of 20, a Royal RBOC, Royal Bank of Canada, is 2.53%. So you can find pretty good yields. Same thing with Merck. That's February next year, 2.29%. And that there's RBOC again the next month. January, February, March. In March is 2.35%. Now, once you go past that March, these yields get really, really soft. Once you get out into 20, September, October 20th, you can get about 2.5% with a Pfizer bond. So that's why you got to pick and choose. Now, here is an example of why it's important to compare bonds of, if you're looking at 2 year, 3 year. So these are both AA rated bonds, AA minus actually. One is Royal Bank of Canada, the other is Colgate Palmolive. They both, one matures on October 30th of 20. The other one is November 2nd. So there's only 2 days, 3 days apart that they mature. The Royal Bank of Canada is 2.41%. The Colgate Palmolive is only 2.1%. Folks, that's a 40 basis point difference for just 3 days with the exact same rating. So I'm not going to do the Colgate Palmolive. I'm going to do the Royal Bank of Canada. And by the way, they've got all kinds of backing and specialty, you know, sort of like similar to our FDIC insurance. So they're not going anywhere. Okay. And I can give you all kinds of examples on that where one is better than the other at any particular time frame. So even if you're building a laddered approach where you're doing, you know, a third of the money in the next 15 months, a third of the money a little bit further out, a third of the money in 4.5 years, it's still going to behoove you to go in there and pick and choose and select the bonds very carefully, because you'll come out with a higher yield, and it could be a third of a percent difference or 0.5%. Now, I personally wouldn't do the laddered approach. I would still kind of pick the sweet spots of where the best risk reward is, and then I would pick the best bonds. So everybody thinks you just go out and just ladder a CDs or ladder an investment grade bond and buy a fifth of a 1 year, fifth of a 2 year, fifth of a 3 year, fifth of a 4 year, and fifth of a 5 year. Tim, that's how those guys that want to be your friend that you were alluding to earlier, where they're just collecting the 12B1 fees, they're just going to stick you in a bond fund and go play golf with you and be done with it, because they're not doing any research. Anyway, that's why it's very important. So it's not just, I mean, yes, we're primarily, we do stocks and equity ETFs, but bonds are just as complicated as equities, and people don't realize that. And so you just got to do your homework, but there is a way to create your own income and get basically almost identical what those annuities are doing, those fixed annuities you were talking about previously, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Except guess what? At the end of the day, after you take your quote income for life, somebody gets a big chunk of that principal back, inherits your kids, your charity, your church, synagogue, whatever it is. The annuity, you lose it all. With this, you don't.
Well, I'll tell you what. I feel like I've killed Danny in one show leading into a holiday weekend. I feel like I have not done our show very well, where I have brought up annuities and now I let us into bond talk. So, yeah.
Hey, look, but that's what research is about. I mean, look, research isn't always boring, but it, I mean, isn't always exciting, but it's important.
Yeah. So listen,
the devil's in the details.
I'll tell you what, let's do this. Give us the outro and then I'll finish with my thoughts on Amazon here and, IYT.
Good.
No, you got to give us the outro. You got to give us the you give us the outro.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I got
the worst produced show in America. Listen. It's right here,
folks. Listen, I want to wish everybody a happy 3-day holiday weekend this Memorial Day, and remember what this holiday is actually about. It's about those who sacrificed all so that we can have our freedom. And if you like what you heard today, even though it might have been a little dry, somebody may need that kind of help. Just go to revereasset.com and you can reach us, any of us, Dan at Revere Asset, Tim at Revere Asset, or Don at Revere Asset, or you could call us old school at 855 Real Wealth.
Okay, so let's see. I still like Amazon here. I still like Netflix here. But that could change if the VIX futures were to invert. But watch Friday night's video at revereasset.com if you want to know my thoughts on heading into the shortened trading week next week. And then you got to realize too, next week is Friday is the 31st, and then that means Monday is the first day of the month, and that has been a jumper trade in 2019. I'll explain that on the video. Just go to revereasset.com for that. It's free, by the way. Everything we do on that website is free. IYT, so is the transport ETF. And when the transports are lower, you'll hear people doubt their risk, say markets are in peril. But you got to understand what makes up 10 and 5% of the top four positions of that ETF. It's FedEx and UPS. And I think they should add Amazon to it because Amazon's delivering more and more of their own packages. And so as Amazon goes on a hiring spree, they're asking their own workers to leave the warehouse. They'll fund them. They'll support them a little bit by starting their own Amazon delivery company or business with their Amazon labeled vans. We've done a story on that in the past. Amazon's more is going to become more and more responsible for the commerce transportation in this country, for retail buyers. And I think that should be factored in because if FedEx and UPS are losing a chunk of their business because Amazon's taking it back from them, does that make the Dow theory so relevant? When people say FedEx is trading awful and that's a marker of the economy, well, it could be. And I don't want to I'm not saying it's not. But I wonder how relevant it truly is when Amazon is taking more delivery from those companies. And so it's just something to think about when Dow theorists trot out the transports are weak, the market's going to get weak. What I don't doubt at all is that there's algorithms programmed to that. And algorithms are programmed by humans. But I think that paradox that FedEx is weak, UPS is weak, the economy is weak, I think that's changing, just like the inflation equation has changed because technology has helped keep inflation low. And the Fed has yet, or maybe they're just starting to catch on to that. So with that, my fellow stock nerds, market lovers, I hope it helps. We will see you next time on Your Money.